Thank you for the opportunity to be back in your church. The third in a series, we're talking about relationships. My wife is at the resource table. She said, I need to sell some things today. So we have our book, Comic Belief, a Longhorn sermon, a point at each end, a lot of bull in the middle. You understand that? It's a Texas kind of book, actually, that men read. And then, of course, we have our relationship series on DVDs and CDs. And we asked you not only maybe get something, but then give to a friend. And if that friend is a Christian, don't tell them I'm a psychologist. They don't trust psychologists. They trust pastors. So tell them, you know, we got this series from this pastor. Now, if they're not a Christian, they don't trust pastors. They trust psychologists. And so you say, I got this psychologist, funny guy. You need to listen to this. So use the resources in order to help other people. We are talking about people, and some of them are just irritating, aren't they? I mean, let's just be honest. Sing that song, Family of God. I mean, every now and then, don't you want to sing, I'm surprised you're part of the family of God? I mean, really, people are just a little irritating at times, aren't they? Sometimes born-again Christians are bigger pain the second time around. I mean, because now they think they're right about everything. And so it takes a little bit of patience. One lady was the cashier at a restaurant. And she would take the money from people, and they would always pay their bill, but they'd always say, what time is it? What time is it? What time is it? Just irritated her over and over and over again. So she saved her money, bought a clock, and put it right by the cash register. And then everybody that came by said, is that clock right? Is that clock right? Now, that's just people, aren't they? That's just the way they are. I mean, I had a secretary one time. I couldn't get her to answer the phone. I said, why don't you answer the phone? She said, well, 9 out of 10 times, it's for you. And so it's hard. And so we're going to teach you about people today. We talked about, last time I was here, the stages that relationships go through. We said that first stage is that wonderful stage when you think you found the perfect person. And, you know, look good, smells good, never go to the bathroom. You got this perfect person. And then, of course, after wonderful comes war. And we discovered that opposites attract from a distance, but opposites attack up close because now, well, you didn't know all this about that person. And so we're going to talk today about the difference is the dynamic, that actually incompatibility is why you get married, not why you get divorced, that together you can be more than you could ever been apart. And so we sometimes call this series Dated Jekyll, Married Hyde, because you do discover some things that, well, it just makes it difficult. Why is it so difficult for people to get along? Well, the answer, of course, is in Genesis chapter 3. We all have a sinful nature, and we all want what we do not have. I mean, that's just our earth suit. We all come from the Adams family, and we carry our Uncle Adam's suit around with us. And so, as a rule, man's a fool. When he's hot, he wants it cool. When he's cool, he wants it hot. Always want what's not. As a rule, man's a fool. I mean, you know that, right? And so, we don't have time to go into all that, but we have that sinful nature. Then we just have some practical things. The fact that you grew up in one family and they do it a certain way, and maybe you marry into another family and they did it a different way, and so you have different expectations. For example, in my family, my mother took out the trash. I don't know why, but she took out the trash. My Penny's family, her father took out the trash. We got married, nobody took out the trash. Because I thought that's what women did. She thought that's what men did. And so we have these family differences. And when we have personality differences, you tend to marry somebody that has things that you don't have. Subconsciously, you're attracted to that. One reason I was attracted to my wife, not only is she beautiful, she's organized. You know, everything has its place, and it better be there. You know that kind of personality. I knew I was in trouble when she wanted to clean up the rice at the wedding before we went on the honeymoon, and I thought, well, this lady really is clean. I mean, she's a closet, shoes, face north, color-coded, you know, that kind of personality. She put down the Diet Coke, turn around, it's in the dishwasher. You know, the glass is clean, put down the paper, turn around, it's in the trash. Asked her one time, what do you think God's trying to teach me? He said, he's trying to teach you, enjoy things while you have them. You never know when you're going to lose them. And So I've tried to adjust to that personality. And you know, sometimes she does go overboard. You know, sometimes at night I get up, go to the bathroom, come back, the bed's made, and I think this is a little overboard. And I'm what's clinically called sloppy. Now, you're familiar with that personality. I mean, I thought God made poster beds for pants, shirts, and underwear. I mean, I thought that's what he made them for. And so I think it was the underwear on her side that really ticked her off. But I used to say we had a brief problem, but I won't say that in church. And so we have those adjustments. But then we have male-female differences. We're going to spend a little time on this because, well, it's just funny to talk about the difference between males and females. This is my wife's purse I use as a prop so I can deduct it on my income tax. But I'm going to teach you the difference between a man and a woman, okay? This is a woman and this is a man. You see, women are complex. Women have to think about things. When they decided to come to church this morning, they had to think, am I going to wear my hair up or down or this side or that side? Sometimes what color am I going to wear my hair? Am I going to wear this dressy dress or a casual dress? I'm going to wear a casual blouse or a dressy blouse. Am I going to wear a necklace with those earrings or those earrings with that necklace or that necklace with that bracelet or that bracelet with those earrings? Am I going to wear slacks or casual slacks or dressy slacks? Am I going to wear slacks that come here, 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 here? Am I going to wear stockings or half stockings or no stockings or socks or half socks or no socks? Am I going to wear shoes or half those half heel shoes or those big heel shoes or those no heel shoes or maybe it's still warm enough to wear sandals and paint my toes? I mean, it's a complex operation. Men are simple. Get a shirt, look for visible dirt, smell the shirt. One lady in Arkansas said, I don't mind him smelling, he wants me to smell it. No dirt, no smell. I got myself an outfit here, honey. He's colorblind anyway. He doesn't know what goes. See, women are complex. They dress to express themselves. Men are simple. We dress so we won't be naked. That's pretty much why we dress. But see, women are complex. You see, you come to my house, you'll find we have lots of towels. We got towels that match other towels. We got towels that match the floor. We got towels that we use. We got towels we don't use. We got decorative towels. Nobody uses those towels. We got guest towels. People we don't know, they use those towels. We got all kind of towels at my house. Now, what if I live by myself? Simple. Two towels, one wet, one dry, alternate 6 months, throw them out, buy me two more towels. But it wasn't good for man to be alone. He needed more towels. So God created women. You see, men are simple. I go to bed, one head, one bed, one pillow. Women are complex. I have 11 pillows on my bed. I take 6 off every night. I put 6 back on every morning. Why? I don't know why. Because it wasn't good for man to be alone. He needs more pillows. That's why. We bought a new house with brand new wallpaper. Penny looked at brand new wallpaper and said, that's got to go. I said, that's new wallpaper. She said, I know, but it's not me. I said, it's not me either. It's wallpaper. Wasn't good for man to be alone. He needs more wallpaper. See, women are just, see, girls grow up differently than boys. Girls grow up talking, communicating, sharing. Boys, they don't grow up like that. We grew up competing, hitting, fighting. King of the hill, capture the flag, put a helmet on and seriously injure the guy. That's how we grew up, you see. Women sometimes don't understand that competition part. I remember on our vacation, when the first time we went on vacation, Penny turned to me and says, can we stop at the rest area? I said, not till I pass that Chevrolet. What Chevrolet? Chevrolet passed me 30 miles back, that Chevrolet. That's how we grew up. You got to fight them. You got to beat them. You got to win. You see, women just learn how to talk. They learn how to share. You come, women say, let's talk. They just talk. You come up to man and say, let's talk. He'll say, about what? Because he thinks you're going to take it and use it against him somehow. You see, when you ask him what happened at work, he thinks you're trying to find out something about him. You see? So you can use it against him. That's how we grew up. We get defensive. It's hard for us to communicate. It's hard for us to talk. You see, girls, it's been documented, at 4 years of age, 100% of what little girls say is totally intelligible, even at 4 years of age. 4 years of age, 40% of what little boys say is totally unintelligible. I mean, you don't believe it? You go over and watch the four-year-old boys right now. You'll just hear a bunch of sounds. I mean, it's just a bunch of sounds. By the way, men never outgrow their need to make their sounds. That's a part of it. So we got complex. We have simple. You see, women, well, see, this is not the only purse my wife has. She has lots of purses. Spring purses, winter purses, fall purses. Sometimes women say things like this: Easter, gonna get a purse match my shoes. You ever heard a man say, can't wait for spring, gonna get a wallet match my shoes? We just don't do it. We're just not into that, you see. I mean, girls say things like, braid hair, go over to your house and talk when they're little. Boys don't say that. If they did, you didn't go. I mean, it's just part of, you know, we understand that. And so the fact of the matter is we grow up differently. One is better at communicating. One gets defensive about communicating. But the Bible says that that's why God puts us together, so that we can be more than we could ever be apart. But that's what also why it makes it so difficult. So how does it work? I'm going to preach a simple message today. I want to do two things. I'm going to try to teach women how to appreciate men, and I'm going to try to teach men how to listen. I know that's a miracle, but I can do it, okay? I've done it all over the country. First, let's encourage the men for coming today. Let's teach women how to appreciate men. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, it says, likewise, women are likewise wives. Now, whenever it says likewise in the Bible, it means you look up into chapter 2 to know what chapter 3 is talking about. If you look up into chapter 2 of 1 Peter, it's talking about Jesus. And so, wives, it says, in the way Jesus treated people, you were to treat your husband. The Bible says Jesus did not return evil for evil or even reviling for reviling. The Bible says that Jesus turned them over to him who judges righteously. You see, people were not Jesus's problem. Your mate is not your problem. Your mate is God's problem. You see, people are not the ones that can do harm to you. God allows people to act in certain ways, but whatever they do to you, he can take and use for you. God is the one with the power. People aren't the one with the power unless you give them that power. So it says to wives, I'm going to ask you to do something, and you're not going to be able to do it unless you understand that your husband is not your problem. Your husband is my problem. Because it's going to use the word submission. And submission, well, one definition of submission that women really like is submission is you duck so God can knock your husband's head off. Now, that's a pretty good definition of submission. But it says you will win a man over not with your words. You see, if you're not careful, women, your strength and weakness, because you can talk better. I'm going to stereotype here, but most of the times women can talk better than men. And so if you're not careful, your strength become a weakness. You'll try to talk him into doing things. And the Bible calls that a nag. And the Bible says, do not be a nagging woman. Matter of fact, the Bible says a nagging woman is like dripping water. You ever been around dripping water? It goes drip, 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 nag, 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 and drive you nuts. It says, don't do that. You won't win him over that way. It'll make it worse. You see, a man will bow up for that. Because of that male ego, he will bow up. And when you try to talk him into doing something, he will not want to do it. And then he'll say, well, I need to do it. And so she hadn't nagged me in a day. I think I'll go do it. And just before he does it, you bring it up again. And then he said, no, I'm not going to do it now. And so he never gets anything done. Why? Because you can't quit nagging. That's why. You see, let it go. See, you're not your problem. It's God. You're to share your needs. You're to communicate, but you're not trying to manipulate. Try to get him to do what you want him to do. That's God's problem. You communicate instead of manipulate. So you won't win him over with your words. Well, how will you win him over? The Bible says you'll win him over by your personality. And it says you'll win him over by having a submissive spirit. Now, what's submissive mean? Anytime you want to interpret the Bible, to stay healthy spiritually and psychologically. You always interpret the Bible in terms of Jesus. It is his story. It's about Jesus. That'll keep you balanced. And so you interpret the Bible in terms of Jesus. The ultimate example of submission in the Bible is who? It's Jesus. He submitted to God the Father. Was he equal to God? Yes. Was he perfect like God? Yes. We're not talking about that. We're talking about putting himself in a position so a great work could be done. But practically, what did Jesus do? If you read the Bible, practically, this is what Jesus did. He went around telling people how good God was. I mean, that's what he did. Remember, he'd say it like this. You think God's like this, but God's really like this. God is so good that even if he had a kid to live with the pigs, God was so good. If that child came home, he would run to him and throw a party and put a ring on him and a robe on him. That's how good God is. God is so good. Even if he had 99 sheep and one was lost, God is so good, he would go looking for that one lost sheep. He would say it this way. You think God's like this. Remember, because the Old Testament, I mean, God did, you know, kind of wipe out some folks. Remember those Midianites, mosquito bites, Gazutites, Samsonites. And man, I wish they'd got the termites, don't you? But he'd say, you think he's like this. Remember, Jesus is not the concealed God. He's the revealed God. Jesus said, you think he's like this, but God's really like this. And he went around telling people how good God was. Now you say, okay, that's good theology, Charles, but what does that have to do with my husband? Well, that's the primary need of a man, is admiration, respect. See, a man is just a 10-year-old boy grown up. That's all he is. I mean, every little boy wants to be a hero, and the way to his heart is through his ego. I promise you, he's a 10-year-old boy grown up. What do 10-year-old boys do? Watch them. They do tricks for their mother. That's what they do. They're always 10. Mama, watch me do this. Feel my muscles. Aren't I big? Aren't I strong? Aren't I fantastic? And watch me hit this ball. And watch me do this. And watch me do this. And can't I do it? Oh, mama, feel my muscles. Aren't I getting big? Aren't I getting strong? Am I handsome? And she says, oh, yes, you are. Oh, you're so big. You're so strong. Oh, you're so handsome. Oh, you hit that ball so far. And you kicked that ball so good. And you were the best in the play. I mean, of all the people in that school play, you were the best. I mean, how you stood there like a tree and you didn't move. Oh, you had such a great part. You did so good. And what does he do? Oh, he thrives on that. Oh, yes, I did do good. I was a good tree, wasn't I? Oh, that's all I love. Oh, mama, oh, my muscles feel, aren't I getting big? Aren't I getting strong? He thrives on that, you see. But then something happens. It's usually around, you know, 17, somewhere around 18. And he said, I made the team. Guess what I made it? Yeah, but your room's a mess. You got to clean up that room. Yeah, but mama, I did it. Yeah, but you got a D in algebra. You got to study. Yeah, but mama, I did this. Yeah, you didn't do that. And he starts looking for another woman. Come here, feel my muscles. Aren't I wonderful? Aren't I fantastic? And what does she say? Oh, yes, you are. You're so cute. I've been watching you. I think you're the best on the team. I think you're handsome. Yeah, she thinks I'm wonderful. She thinks I'm fantastic. Mama, I'm going with her. Why? Because she meets that basic need. Men want to be admired. We want to think somebody thinks we're the best. That's why we don't cook, we grill. We want to fight fire so people clap for us when we come in. Look at Dad out there. What a man, what a man. Feel my muscles. Aren't I wonderful? Yeah, that's in us, see. But women, if you're not careful, if you're not real careful, same thing happened to you, it happened to that other lady. He'll start coming home and say, I did this, I did it. Yeah, but you haven't done that. You didn't do this. Yeah, but I did this. Yeah, but you didn't do that. Yeah, but I did this. Yeah, but you didn't do that. And he starts looking for another woman. See, most affairs happen in this country not for physical reasons, but for psychological reasons. Believe you not, they're not physical. I've seen the other women most of the time. It's not physical. Psychological. And usually it happens at work. Why? Because the man isn't able to figure out he's paying her to say good things about him. See? Need of a man. Go around telling how one. You said, now, wait a minute, Charles. I mean, you're a doctorate in psychology. You mean that's the key to a man? To go around telling everybody how wonderful he is? How fantastic he is? That's it. That's it. In fact, the more public, the better. I mean, how wonderful he is. You say, wait a minute. My husband? How about going around telling everybody how wonderful he is? He's not wonderful. In fact, he's a jerk. Oh, really? You married a jerk? You looked all over the world to find somebody to make you miserable for the rest of your life, and you thought, oh, he's a jerk. He can make me miserable for the rest of my life. Is that the way it happened? No, that's not the way it happened. In fact, you were looking for that person you thought was wonderful. In fact, let's just role play a little bit. It probably went something like this. Let's just call his name Bill. You know, Bill's a good name. I mean, I grew up in the 60s. Remember the song, "Met him on a Monday and my heart stood still. Do-do-run-run-run, do-do-run-run. I didn't know that his name was Bill." Let's call him Bill, okay? Let's say you come home and you say you're getting married. Your parents say, "No, you're not. You know, you're not ready to get married." "Oh yeah, I'm getting married." "No, you're not ready to get married." "Yes, I'm getting." "No, you're not ready to get married." "I'm getting married." "No, no, no, you're not going to marry Bill, are you?" "No, no, not Bill." "Oh yeah, I'm going to marry Bill." "No, you can't marry Bill." And what did you say? "You don't know Bill like I know Bill." And you start telling them all the wonderful things about Bill. What happened to old Bill? What happened to him? I'll tell you what happened to him. He didn't hear any wonderful things anymore. Most men will break their neck to live up to the wonderful things that women, especially attractive women, say about him. It's just in him. And that's why God says, go around telling people how wonderful he is. You say, well, what if he doesn't do too well? Well, the Bible then tells you about Sarah and Abraham. We don't have time to go into it, but they went on a trip. And the Bible says that Sarah told God on Abraham, and God came and protected her. You see, he's not your problem. He's God's problem. Only thing you're supposed to do is go around telling people wonderful things about him. Well, then it says in verse 7, it says to men, dwell with your wife according to knowledge. Then it says, make her a joint heir, a partner. You see, God's going to give you blessings in this life depending on how well you partner with other people, primarily your family. Remember, it goes on to say that you're going to love your life and you're going to see good days and God's ears are going to be open to your prayers. But in verse 7, it says to men, if you don't make her a joint heir and you don't dwell with her according to knowledge, your prayers aren't going to be answered. So men, you want your prayers answered? You want to love your life and see good days? Make her a partner. And how do you do that? You do that by dwelling with her according to knowledge, by understanding her. A woman's primary need, yours is admiration, hers is intimacy. And intimacy to a woman means into me you see. She wants to look into you. She wants you to talk to her. She wants to be a partner with you. And to do that, you have to learn to listen, guys. Got to learn to listen. So I'm going to teach you how to listen. I just taught this to Thursday on the government, FDIC, all the employees, FDIC. I taught them how to listen. It'll make you successful not only at home, in the business world, if you know how to listen. L-I-S-T-E-N, listen. L stands for lean forward, look them in the eye. You see, a woman understands nonverbal communication is just as important as verbal communication. A woman talks as much for rapport as she does report. A woman is interested as much in the process as she is the product. You see, a woman understands there's also feeling behind facts, that facts are not always the most important thing. And so to pick up on nonverbal communication, you have to put down your phone. You have to look away from the computer or cut it off. You can't be texting and listening at the same time. You have to put down the newspaper. You have to lean forward and look her in the eye. So you can pick up on that nonverbal communication. If you come home from work and your wife's in the kitchen in a position somewhat like this, and you say, "What's wrong, honey?" And she says, "Nothing." And you say, "Oh, good, I'm going to go play golf then." You will soon see Jesus. because nonverbally she's trying to tell you everything is wrong here. So you have to lean forward, look them in the eye. I stands for inquire. That means you're going to actively listen. That means you may ask her a question about what she said. You may say something like, well, then what did they do? Or what did she say after that? Or what did you say after that? You see, it's being involved in the conversation. It's active listening. Now, some of you guys I know are kind of at baseline here. You're not very good listeners. So let me just give you two steps here that will actually probably be progress for you. When your wife, and by the way, women, when you say let's talk, that's like leprosy or root canals to a guy. You see, he's not looking forward to that. So when you say something, if you could just lean forward, look her in the eye, and say, tell me more. I mean, surely you can do that, right? I mean, that'd be progress right there. Just that, those two steps. Now, I do have to caution the women here because he is a guy. And when you lean forward or he leans forward, looks you in the eye and says, tell me more, I have to be honest, he doesn't want to know anymore. I mean, he's a guy. Deep down, he wants to be real close to a woman who will leave him alone. I mean, that's just the way we grew up. And so when he does that, he's doing that because he loves you and he loves Jesus, and I told him to. So when he does that, keep it short, okay? He doesn't want the whole newspaper. He wants the headlines, okay? He doesn't want the novel. He wants the pamphlet. So you got to keep it short. One guy said, does it bother you that your wife has a last word? He said, no, I'm just excited when she gets to it. So keep it short. Lean forward, inquire, stop interrupting. Now see, here's how a man thinks. If I can jump in here and give you the answer to this problem, I can jump back to the ball game. Jump in, jump out. You see, we're taught to fix it, so that's what we want to do. We want to jump in, we want to jump out. But you see, that's not what she's looking for, guys. She's not necessarily looking for an answer. She may be looking for some assurance here. See, I learned a lot of this the hard way. I used to come home from work, and I mean, I'm a psychologist. People used to pay me good money for my answers. So I'd come home, and Penny would say, Breanne did this, Casey did this, and Angela did this. And I'd say, won't you do this, and Breanne do that? Won't you try that? Maybe Casey do that? Won't you do that? She'll do that. She said, why don't you shut up? She's walking off. I'm saying, hey, lady, they pay good money for this downtown. I'm giving you it for free. But she didn't want my answers. She just wanted my assurance that being home with three preschool kids all day long was important work, you see. She didn't want a solution. There's no solution for three preschool kids. She wanted some sympathy that I'm the only adult voice she's heard all day long, you see. She just wanted that intimacy, that partnership, that we're in this together and she's doing the hardest part. I got an easy job, my friend. See, that's what she needs, you see. So, lean forward, inquire, stop interrupting. And by the way, let me just balance this a little bit. Women interrupt for a different reason. Women usually interrupt because men get the facts wrong, and they have to correct them. Women, just let it go. Let it go. He's not lying. He's a man. That's the best he can do. We don't remember stuff like you remember stuff. Now, I remember more now because I've been married 41 years and I know you're going to get a test. I didn't know that at first. I mean, we'd come home from somebody's house and Penny would say, did you like the dress that lady had on? What lady? What dress? Well, she was the hostess at the party. You were there 2 hours. Didn't you once look at her dress? Didn't know I was supposed to. I mean, women, my wife will act, we'll go eat with somebody and we'll come home and she'd say, did you like the kitchen floor? The kitchen floor? Where? Why kitchen floor? You were in the kitchen for an hour and a half eating. Didn't you once look at the floor? No, I watched my food pretty much the whole time. But now I know women notice. I mean, if I go to your house, I'm looking at your floor. I mean, that's just part of it. Checking out your wallpaper, you know. But women, you have to understand, men don't do, it's not natural for us to remember that kind of stuff. So don't correct, especially in public, but don't correct him for, I mean, he'll say, we were at Wendy's, and she'll say, no, it wasn't, it was a McDonald's. Well, it was a hamburger place, that's what I was trying to say. And it was last Tuesday. No, it wasn't, it was Wednesday. Well, it was a weekday, that's what I was trying to say. Well, we were with the McCulloughs and the Jones. No, it wasn't, it was the McCulloughs and the Petersons. Well, the McCulloughs who I'm talking about. And then finally he'll just say, oh, you tell it, you know. Let it go, women. Don't correct him. He's not lying. He's doing the best he can. I mean, the sports, they have instant replay. Men's already, we already forgot that. Got to see it again, you know. Let it go. How much time I got here? Oh, man, I'm just getting going here. Get your pastor invite me back. Finish this message sometime. L-I-S-T. Tell them what they said and ask them if you're correct. Don't make assumptions. Assumption is the lowest form of knowledge. I used to teach a college class and I'd say blank is the lowest form of knowledge. I want them to put assumption is the lowest form of knowledge. I had a football player in my class. He put my brain is the lowest form of knowledge. I gave him credit. I think he's right. But see, we make these assumptions. You know, you move into your dream house and the wife will say something like, well, this kitchen sure is inconvenient. Well, instead of a man asking about that, he will just start talking to himself. What do you mean the kitchen's inconvenient? I mean, we just paid $300,000 for this inconvenient kitchen. I mean, and he just starts building it up, you know. But he could say, honey, you said the kitchen's inconvenient. Does that mean you don't like this house anymore? Oh, no, she'd say. I love this house. But you know, the pantry's different than that other pantry. And if we just had four shelves right there, it would be a perfect kitchen. You see how four shelves just cost like $99 and probably save $50,000 because you didn't have to build another house, you know, because you learned how to listen. You see, listen. Work it out. Or you going to end up having it out, I promise you. So you have to listen. Don't make a assumption. It comes down to this, folks. You have to share your expectations. People don't know what your expectations are. A couple can get married and they're going on their first vacation. Well, if you haven't talked about or shared what your expectations are, you can get in a fight on your first vacation. I mean, just say your family went to the mountains on vacation and their family went to the beach. Well, they just think they're going to the mountains and they think they're going to the beach. And the first vacation, you're going to have a good beach by the mountains in this country. And so you have to share. What do we expect on vacation? Even if you agree on the right place, some people on vacation want to just sit the whole time by the pool and do nothing. Where other people want to schedule the whole. So you got to talk about that things. You got to verbalize your expectations or else you're going to end up fighting about those things. That's just, we don't have time to go into all that, but that's what you got to do. So L-I-S-T. E stands for encourage. Learn to encourage each other. Encouragement. Jesus was the greatest encourager who ever lived. That's why people flock to be around him. People will want to be around you. Learn to encourage your husband. Learn to encourage your wife. Learn to encourage your kids. Again, could preach a whole message on that, but got to get to listen. L-I-S-T-E-N. N stands for never look at your watch while your wife is talking. You see, remember, men are just little boys grown up, and we get nervous when we talk. It's been documented with research that men just get nervous. And so they'll start to get out stuff. They'll get out their wallet, you know, and start banging around, or their keys or whatever they got in their hand. They'll get, you know, they start, and the wife will say, listen to me, you know. So men just take everything out of your pockets. If your wife wants to talk, kind of like you're doing surgery, you know, just remove everything. But let me give you a very practical thing to do. Women make that weakness a strength. You see, they are 10-year-old boys grown up. What do 10-year-old boys do? They fidget. We just do it when we get nervous. And so find a legitimate fidget so he can talk. See, men talk during activity. I like to play golf. Some people say, well, why do you like golf? Well, it's cheaper than Prozac. That's one reason I like golf. And so, but the golf swing only lasts 2 seconds. Say you hit it 100 times. You only played golf 200 seconds. But you're out there 4.5 hours sometimes. What did you do all that time if you only played golf 200 seconds? That's how men talk. We fidget, talk, talk, fidget, 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 talk, talk, fidget, fidget, talk, 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 fidget, fidget, talk, talk, fidget. That's how we do it. Women can talk, 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 talk. Makes us nervous, 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 nervous. So find a legitimate fidget. Let me give you one. Let's make this message very practical. Learn to take walks together. That's a legitimate fidget for a man. It relaxes him physically. You got a much better chance of agreeing with somebody when you're walking in the same direction. As a matter of fact, notice if people disagree, they'll stop and they'll turn toward each other. It's very hard to disagree and walk in the same direction. See? So find a legitimate fidget so you can learn each other. You will never know how to love somebody unless you know how to listen to somebody. Remember, everybody's loved in different ways. And the only way to love is to find out, is to listen how they love. See, now you know I love to play golf. Next time I come here, some of you love me will take me to play golf. You see, you listened. Those of you who didn't listen, you won't know how to love me, you see. We're all loved in different ways. Some of you didn't listen, try to take me fishing. And I don't like fishing. I mean, I'll fish for my golf ball if I hit it in the water, but otherwise I just don't fish. See, so you got to learn how to love people. You got to listen. There's a little chapel in Iowa. It's a beautiful chapel. It's so beautiful they have weddings there all the time. And the pastor does so many weddings. He has a little ritual he does after every wedding. He brings them out into the foyer, and there's a huge rope. And the rope is connected to the huge set of chimes that plays beautiful music. But the rope is huge. So the pastor always turns to the bride and says, in honor of your wedding today, would you pull the rope so we can hear the music? And of course, she can't pull it. It's just huge. She can't get it all the way pulled. So then he turns to the husband and says, would you help your bride? Of course, he wants her to feel his muscles. So he goes over there and he pulls it as hard as he can together. And the music starts to play. And the pastor always looks at him and says this, don't ever forget what you learned today, that together you will make beautiful music. And that's exactly what 1 Peter chapter 3 says, that together you will get the blessings of God. It's like a blank check, but God wants a partnership. He wants both your signatures. He wants you to be joint heirs of this inheritance. And if you do become partner, then you will love your life and you will see good days and God's ears will be open to your prayers. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. We're going to have a time of invitation. Before that, I'd like to pray for you. I don't know what your needs are today. Maybe you just need to come and kneel and ask God to help you be the partner that he wants you to be, whether it's at home or at work or at church, because the whole world moves in partnership. Maybe some of you have never been in partnership with God. You've never accepted Christ as your Savior. And you'll never make it in this world or the world to come without Jesus as your partner. Others may need to make decisions I don't know about, but I do know nobody ever regrets coming to this altar. Father, thank you for your words today. Lord, help us be the kind of partners you want us to be. Lord, thank you for Jesus who partners with us to give us the power to do what we cannot do ourselves. Maybe today would be the day that somebody accepts Jesus as a partner in their life. Or maybe partnership with this church to join and plant their family here. Whatever their needs are, we know, Lord, you can meet those needs. Give them the courage to step out. Thank you for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.